you can be forgiven if you detected some familiar themes in this year's summer's crop of blockbusters, the improbable group of unlikely heroes and has-beens that bands together to save the day. I think the Hulk starred in both the Avengers and Expendables, too. And then there's The Hero's Return, played rather darkly in the latest Batman film, but for laughs back in 2004, when Mr. Incredible considered his return to glory and, of course, his costume.
Wait, you want to make me a suit?
You push too hard, darling, but I accept. It will be bold, dramatic,
yeah.
Heroic.
Yeah, something classic, like Dinah Guy. Oh, he had a great look. Oh, the cape and the boots.
No capes.
Call us to nominate your favorite Band of Heroes flick or The Hero's Return from Exile or Obscurity, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Our favorite film buff, Murray Horowitz, joins us here in Studio 3A. Good to have you back.
Good to be back, Neil. Thanks so much.
And I guess, in a way, The Incredibles counts in both categories.
I think so. You mentioned familiar. And by the way, I want to thank you for not wearing your cape today.
Well,
I think it's a prudent choice.
The boots, though.
Yeah, the boots are dashing. You mentioned familiar themes. And the truth of the matter is that in big-budget Hollywood movies, there are some familiar themes in the summer. It's almost always about good versus evil.
No.
Actually, somebody said, let's do your best good versus evil films. I said, I think we'll be here for about 7 months.
You know?
But there are a lot of... I love the films where this like all-star team of good guys gets together to do battle. And not surprisingly, as you mentioned, sometimes there has been good guys and they bond together.
And these are... If you go back in the history of Western civilization, that plucky band of Greeks that gathered under the walls of Troy, and the other one, of course, is The Hero's Return. What did it take Ulysses 10 years to get home?
Something like, even more, didn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
And the ship was the same, but not the same.
He ended up wrecking on that.
Right. But we like these team things, and we especially like, teams with specialists. In the Avengers, each one of the superheroes has a different kind of set of skills or superpowers. Same thing with The Incredible. And even in some of the movies that we're going to discuss, somebody's a good rifleman and somebody else is a good explosives expert, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I do have to say, there are a couple of ground rules. Please, we talk about blockbusters. Blockbusters,
that's not really a category.
It's a category. It's not a genre. And nothing's... you can't announce we're going to have a blockbuster this summer. You don't know that until after the film's released. I mean, witness this year's Battleship, which... you can use whatever verb that's a pun that you would
sank
like.
Quickly, thank you. Out of sight.
Tanked, sank, all those are good. So these are big budget Hollywood movies, and they all are kind of one of the culinary sort of confections that, there's some car chases and motorcycle chases and this and the girl. So they're familiar.
Well, you mentioned the team. This was an email from Brandon in Wyoming. The Avengers is the culmination of years of hard work and dedication. As a lifelong comic book fan, it's a childhood dream come true for me to see all those characters on screen together. Joss Whedon's sense of humor and eye for action, not to mention the acting abilities of some of that ensemble cast, make this the ultimate superhero flick. Well done, Joss.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that our listener in Wyoming points out that's important is in the comic book, now I don't know if it's a genre or a category, but the comic book literature, there's years and years of work went in with, Bob Kane and Stan Lee and these other, masters of the genre. And now the current crop of comic book writers have had years to develop their characters. Mm-hmm. And that's why you can really kind of have two Spider-Man. It was only, 10 years ago we had the first Spider-Man movie, and now we have the sort of recapitulating the whole thing over again.
And how many times have we seen the origin of Batman,
Batman,
in the movies?
That's right.
So here's an email from Dan who says his favorite Band of Heroes movie is The Magnificent Seven.
Home, none. Wife, none. Kids, none. Prospects, zero.
No enemies?
Alive.
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen, that wonderful, wonderful star who's probably equally fascinating and attractive to men and women. What a cast this movie has. Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, James Coburn, Robert Vaughn. I think that might have been, mm-hmm. that was Coburn in that scene. Eli Wallach, Charles Bronson. It's just a wonderful movie. It is, we have to say, every time we mention The Magnificent Seven, the masterpiece by Akira Kurosawa, The Magnificent Seven, with Toshirô Mifune and Takashi Shimura, simply one of the greatest movies ever made.
And there are so many great scenes in that movie. But,
right. What's your favorite, Neil? Tell us.
I was just going to say that is the ensemble cast putting together all of these people who were stars in other movies. And that is the formula, it seems to me, for success that, even the Avengers is based on.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good point. And as a result, there are these sort of little mini star turns. My favorite that I'm happy to tell you is when, now I'm going to completely blow it. Who's the marksman? It's Bronson, isn't it? And Coburn. Anyway, he's
Coburn.
Coburn, the guy's riding away on the horse.
Yeah.
And he shoots, miles away, and the horse falls down. And he kills the guy. The guy falls off the horse. He says, "That was a great shot." It was a terrible shot. I was aiming for the horse. And so you have these little mini sort of almost set pieces in these films, and they're just great.
But the other category, the heroes coming back.
This is what happens in The Dark Knight, right? We see Batman. He's had it. He's out of it. He's a reckless. Loose, he's out of shape, and he gets back into shape in extraordinarily fast, quick time. You're rooting for him already because he's already the underdog, because he's not the Batman that he once was. And there are a lot of movies, and I'm waiting for our listeners to call us with the names, about the down-and-out hero or the guy who's retired, who's pressed back into service.
Or
it's a great theme.
Exiled and returns regain his rightful place on the throne or whatever.
If he's been shamed, that happens too.
Here's an email from Lawrence. The Doom Patrol, he says, they predate the X-Men by a few months. They were a band of unlikely heroes. From D.C., and this from Eric in Southfield, Michigan. Toss up between Kelly's Heroes and The Wild Geese by Richard Harris and Richard Burton.
Those are really good ones. I hadn't thought of them, and they're great. Kelly's Heroes, a lot of fun.
Donald Sutherland in that.
Donald Sutherland, and we didn't mention...
The Wacky Tank Commander.
Beware of a Wacky Tank Commander. But what we didn't mention is teams of bad guys, too, which we're not dealing with today. This is not the Dirty Dozen, folks.
All right. Let's see if we get a caller in on the conversation. We'll start with Melissa. Melissa with us from Paducah.
Hi.
Hi.
I really loved the last adaption of a Three Musketeers movie, The Man in the Iron Mask, with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think it was a wonderful film. It was not the last Three Musketeers movie.
No.
Well, the last one I saw.
The last one has yet to be made, Melissa.
Anyway, but I loved it. The Musketeers were older, and of course they had been abolished, basically. And they pretty much came out of retirement, but one of the best scenes in the movie was at the end of the movie when they are burying Aramis.
Right.
Okay. And when all the other musketeers, the younger ones, raised their swords and they all kind of straightened up as they were walking away. They were kind of regained their glory, and in that respect made them all straighten up. And I just thought that was a wonderful scene and a...
Mm-hmm. Proud again. Right.
Their pride restored.
Right. And I'm thankful to you to remind me that, in a way, a hero who was counted down and out, nobody ever thought he would be alive, but he comes back, is The Count of Monte Cristo, which was just
absolutely
a wonderful movie a few years back.
Yeah. Thanks very much for the call, Melissa.
Thank you.
Let's see if we go next to, this is Reese, and Reese with us from Laramie, Wyoming.
Hey, great show. Love the summer movie series. So
thanks.
I was going to say, it's interesting you guys are talking about Steve McQueen and James Coburn earlier, because I would like to suggest The Great Escape.
That's a very novel choice, Reese. Thanks. I'm glad you said that. It's terrific.
Fantastic movie. Started Steve McQueen's career pretty much, right?
Oh, no. Steve McQueen
was
well established by then.
He was a superstar, though, right?
Oh, he became a superstar.
He became a superstar with that. Yeah, he was actually...
Long movie, Awesome movie, though.
I think it was James Garner's real movie success. And, of course, Maverick on TV.
He had been on TV a lot, but this was the one for James Garner. And Donald Pleasence as the forger who loses his eyesight. It's just with a lot of these movies.
Richard Attenborough.
That's
the big X. Come on.
Right. And Reese points something out that there are, in so many of these movies, there are killer casts because you have all these importantly strong individuals sharing the dramatic duties, all these characters. So you have to have strong actors. And as a result, we get some great, great, great ensemble performances.
Okay, and the crossover between The Magnificent Seven and The Great Escape?
All right, I give what?
Charles Bronson.
The Tunnel King.
That's right, Tunnel King.
That's right.
I saw that movie a few times.
The Miner from Pennsylvania. Right.
Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, guys.
It's interesting. You have there are different kinds of hero return movies. In the 1994 film, The Lion King, Simba, disgraced, exiled, returns home.
Timon, Pumbaa, what are you doing here?
At your service, my liege.
We're going to fight your uncle for this?
Yes, Timon. This is my home.
Oh, talk about your fixer-upper. Well, Simba, if it's important to you, we're with you to the end.
It's a New York accent in deepest Africa. Yeah. It's funny, when I mentioned the hero who's been shamed, I mean, I was really thinking of Simba in The Lion King, whom, Rafiki inspires and Nala convinces to return to the Pride Lands and face the evil Scar.
And the evil Scar, boy. And this is not merely the band of great actors, it's the band of great voices.
Yeah, it's a terrific voice. It's a great cast. And you mentioned The Incredibles, and, there is one of the best voice casts movies I've ever heard. Craig T. Nelson, Holly Hunter, Public Radio's Sarah Vowell, and Samuel L. Jackson. And they clearly have fun with it.
We're talking, of course, with film buff Murray Horowitz at our Summer Movie Festival. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Ray's on the line. Ray with us from Rancho Cordoba in California.
Ah, awesome. Hello. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I'd like to say my favorite misfit superhero movie has to be Mystery Men with Ben Stiller, Jean Garofalo, Hank Azaria, and William H. Macy. They're the quintessential misfits in my mind.
Ray, it just goes to show you put everything in. I left it off the list. I saw it. It's a movie I don't know, but people have told me great things about it.
Go on. Sorry.
No, just that's all. I should have kept it on the list. I would have been able to say, pretend to have seen it and said all these great things to you.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And, their supercar, the Herkimer Battle Ginty, and, of course, Smash Mouth's hit All-Star before it was used on the Shrek soundtrack.
Okay.
Well, look for Mystery Man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, check it out. It's several, quintessential misfits.
Several emailers also called to suggest that. This is from Tim. He suggests, how about The Biggest Disappointment? I'm a dedicated fan of Ridley Scott's early movies and two later ones I'd anticipated his prequel to Alien Prometheus. Wow, what a disappointment. Poor script writing, silly premise, not so good acting, and a mystery or fear factor. My wife and I found ourselves laughing. It was supposed to be its scariest moments.
Yeah, and it disappointed a lot of people. We didn't talk about you talked about a little bit about Batman and the different origin stories.
Sure.
Origins are also with Spider-Man a little bit less so with Batman. It makes an appearance in The Dark Knight Rises, a theme of this summer. And Prometheus is, in a way, an origin story that, as I say, it's souffle that not a souffle, but a disappointment to a lot of people. But I'm not sure it's the biggest disappointment of all time in this genre. The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is a candidate.
This is another one where they have to spend so much time getting the band back together that there's hardly time for a plot.
I thought I was special. You were invulnerable to harm.
I don't like to boast. What happened to Mina?
Oh, she's probably hip deep in some sort of trouble.
Don't be such an alarmist, Mr. Q. And my hips are none of your business.
Yes, that was Sean Connery in there, and a very good comic book and a really bad movie.
Really bad, but it was Tom Sawyer and Wyatt Earp and Sherlock Holmes. It was
Captain
a great
Nemo,
idea.
Captain Nemo,
but it didn't work out.
And as you go through these formulas, yes, that well, Marvel formula now, I guess we're going to call it, of getting the good actor to right. play Iron Man or something like that. And then Robert Downey Jr. can come back in the ensemble cast in that great bickering scene with Captain America and all that.
Right.
But, you know, these are not so easy to predict, as
they
you say.
Aren't. And even sometimes when it's not stars, even. There was a movie in 2009, you know, I mentioned Bob Kane and I mentioned Stan Lee, but, mm-hmm. you know, the contemporary writer, Alan Moore, has done amazing
things
in
comic books. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Right, exactly, the original comic book. And Watchmen, which was directed by Zack Snyder in 2009, done by Alan Moore and his partner, Dave Gibbons. Billy Crudup is only...
Also
is
the, V for Vendetta.
Right, is another one of his... and efforts, I was going to say, in the comic book realm. But Watchmen is a really good movie, and it's an ensemble cast, and it really works. And the only person you've really heard of, well, I shouldn't say that I insult other actors, but the only person I recognized off the bat was Billy Crudup.
Who gets the Murray?
I have to say, if there's one masterpiece in this whole thing, it's got to be The Seven Samurai. But the Murray goes to a film that was very important to me in my adolescent years, The Professionals, directed by Richard Brooks. Listen to this cast. Burt Lancaster, Woody Strode, Claudia Cardinale, never more beautiful, Lee Marvin, Robert Ryan, Jack Palance. It's amazing.
The Professionals.
Your job, a mission of mercy. Raza, Captain Jesus Raza. Jesus, what a name for the bloodiest cutthroat in Mexico.
The bloodiest cutthroat in movies. We'll be back next week with another edition of our Summer Movie Festival. Murray, always good to have you on the
Great
program.
Great to be on. Thanks, Neil.
Tomorrow it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.